In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And wow, we're doing another episode. A week, we didn't miss a week again this time.
I know.
We actually are getting one out. It's kind of funny. Even though your weekend is suddenly becoming full, so we're having to do rescheduling stuff and letting people in on the inside behind the scenes stuff of the podcast. Mike can't do weekends anymore for us to record this and have our conversations because he's busy with a new job on the weekends.
With
an old job that he had previous that he's back at because the world is starting to slowly but surely open up again.
That's really what it's come down to. I could do a short update on things that have happened in my neck of the woods if you want, because this kind of works in with it, doesn't it?
Okay.
You can do
a little bit of an update.
Help guide me. Help keep me on the rails, okay? Because I will go off the rails one point or another, I'm sure.
I'm used to this, so go ahead.
Okay, so it pretty much all started back at the end of January when I had a job at an awesome little place working inventory for an awesome local. Have I stated that? Have I even talked about that at all?
I mean, we've talked a little bit about how I like going to that place because it's got a lot of cool stuff. I don't know if we specifically mentioned the place.
Yeah. I don't want to give them any bad blood. And I might talk about where I was beforehand because I'm far beyond, like, there is absolutely zero animosity to what was done.
The situation for clarity, Mike's no longer with this job, not because of anything bad. They just literally didn't need him for the position anymore.
Yeah.
And it was just a position that wasn't necessary anymore. And he's friends with at least one of the owners, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been friends with one of the owners for years and,
great guy. Very active in the Sacramento music scene. One of those guys that when you see him at first, he can be rather imposing and possibly even a little bit terrifying.
Oh, it definitely helped at shows trying to get bands off the stage that were playing a little too long.
Oh yeah.
He's told me once or twice, just freaking stand there.
he was definitely the type that he would be quite intimidating, but really, really, really nice and super sweet guy.
Oh yeah.
And,
absolutely.
Very, very amusing and talented musician. He was very little used kind of genre of parody metal, if you will, almost
sort of. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humorous, that's a way of putting
humorous
it.
Metal.
Yeah.
His songs, amazingly dirty, amazingly hilarious. His stage show also amazingly dirty and hilarious, but really great guy. Started up this did this business with a couple of different locations in the Sacramento area. Basically, they sell used things, and Mike was working for them for a while. And when I say used things, I'm talking used DVDs, CDs, records, but also used toys and memorabilia, and just a really cool place to shop. If you're somebody like me who's a hardcore collector, I have found some really good Star Wars stuff at these locations. And Mike was there, and then they weren't able to keep his position, so they had to let him go. But no animosity, no hatred. I even asked him when it happened. I'm like, so do I need to not shop there anymore? Do I need to hate these people? He's like, no, man, everything was good. It was all good. It was, there's no issues. There's no problem. I wasn't like fired. They just didn't have the position anymore. So they couldn't keep me on. We're all good with it. Which, by the way, I believe you made a comment last week about how when I was doing my little car buying adventure, and I do have some updates for people from about some of the car stuff later after you're done with your personal updates, and about how when some of the numbers came back not the same and they didn't have the Max Care, the warranty stuff in there, how many people would have just like exploded and started yelling and screaming and whatnot. But I didn't, because I've been in those situations. I've been the salesperson. I've been dealing with the customers, and I know not to have that kind of feeling with it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
I'm an easygoing, level-headed guy. You are that type of guy too. You've been in so many different situations where not only have you had to be the person that has had positions disappear at jobs or had to be let go from different jobs for various reasons, sometimes bad reasons. You just got, you know, I'm sure there are times that you just got fired, other times where the position just wasn't there anymore. And then also having been somebody that has had to ask people to leave things. You've been in charge of two different bands. I'd say one of the guitarists were kind of the people in charge of that band, if you will. Would that be an appropriate description of that band?
That one was
kind of,
I mean, not really, because that one was much more democratic.
Was democratic. Yes, I can see that very one was much democratic. This one, your current one, not as much, because your current one was
current one is mine.
Yeah,
it's something I started off on my own. Yeah, it's a personal project. So yeah,
but,
definitely.
But even with the previous band, I know that there were times that members had to be asked to leave for various reasons. And you know, you've been on all different sides of that, and so you know the times when it's been an easy thing to leave something. As far as, you know, there is no animosity between people. It's just a mutual understanding that the relationship, whatever the definition for it is, working relationship, has to end. And then there's been the bad times. And this is one of those times. It was a good time insofar as, no, you weren't happy that you didn't have that job anymore, but you weren't angry at the way any of it happened. It wasn't a bad thing, and you hold no issues with the people. So you're like, nah, James, you can keep shopping there, which I'm glad for. I'm actually going shopping there today to look for things for two of my children's birthdays that are coming up in this month, because for some reason I decided to have two children in the same month. less than a year apart, mind you, as well. So I know it makes March interesting. March is a funny month for birthdays, isn't it, Mike?
Yes, it is. Anyway, I don't know what you're talking about.
I guess birthdays are a great idea for March, huh?
Seem to be. I think it's just aftermath, man. I don't think people plan the birthday as much as they planned what happens before.
I guess that's why there's a whole lot of people born like September.
Yep,
New Year's Eve, maybe. Anyway, so yeah, you left this job. Sorry, you left this job. See, I took us off the rails this time. But
it's all good, man. Yes, I did leave the job. I was actually let go, and James pretty much explained what happened, and all of this stuff happened like right after, like that same weekend. I got bombarded with work offers without even expecting them, like. The middle of the reopening actually ended up getting a lot more going. So now I have two jobs that I'm working plus other stuff. Basically, the first one I have now is I'm basically self-employed, and I'm picking up, you know, side work as it comes to me. So now people are getting back into, because reopening is happening, people are getting back into playing music again and working with their stuff. And now it's a little bit less of a nerve-wracking environment on the in regard to the whole, I don't know,
we can say the
going to people's houses and stuff. Like, that's a lot less of a crazy thing than it felt like it was for the last couple of years. And I'll be honest, I had quite the time trying to wrap my head around doing that. Though I was getting offers to do like live sound and stuff last year in 2021, and I just wasn't comfortable with it because of how potentially dangerous it could have been, with obviously everything that was going on. I'm not going to sit here and you know, I'm not knocking anybody for going and doing any of those things. Like, but that's, but hey, people had different stages of tolerance for it, you know?
And here's what it comes down to. The simple fact is, a year ago, and we got to think about it, 2 years ago, almost exactly to the day that we're recording this, is when everything shut down. At least here in the United States.
Oh yeah,
it was March 11th that everything shut down in the United States.
Oh my goodness!
As a result of the COVID surge. Yeah, I know.
Today's the 12th, isn't it? Yeah.
Today that when we're recording this is the 12th. This will come out on the 14th. It was the 11th when everything basically shut down. And I've been thinking heavily about it because I've basically had my kids home from school for the last 2 years. And with it was very much a shock for us 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we were in the process of prepping for doing birthday parties for our kids at their schools. And normally we show up with all the stuff, with the, you know, the cupcakes and all the treats and all the things. And we carve some time out of their day with the approval of the teachers and the staff and all of that. We carve time out of their day for us to show up with all this stuff, because it's really hard sometimes to get all the different kids together for birthday parties outside of a school setting, because everybody's got schedules, everybody's got things going on. So we take the party to the school. That's kind of what we've done. We have our own household family party, but for the kids and their friends, we take it to the school.
Yeah.
And we were prepping for the two parties that we had to do in March for two of the kids. And I mean, literally, we had already bought most of the stuff for one of the parties. And
oh man,
suddenly all this happens and the schools are like, nope, we're sending kids home, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're transitioning into this other type of education program. We were just like, what now?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was this whole thing. And now we've hit the 2 year anniversary of all of that happening, and we're seeing restrictions being lifted. The numbers are steadily going down. Enough people have been vaccinated that we're starting to get the things to kind of level out with everything. Again, not everybody has yet, but we're starting to finally see the level out after these 2 years. I mean, exactly 2 years of us living in this weirdness. And a year ago, we were still smack dab in the middle of the weirdness, and the numbers were still on the rise. The things were still not set in the way that they are nowadays.
Yeah,
or right,
exactly.
Now, you know, this year. And so there was still trepidation. My kids were still home all of last year. And it's to the point, like you say, it's becoming... So much more has happened within a year from a year ago. So much more has happened. So many more leaps have been made forward. So many more people vaccinated. The numbers of people infected, and specifically people dying from it, are mm-hmm. on the decline, because they have figured out ways to make it so people die from it less, either by being vaccinated or having better treatments to have people die less from it. And that's the thing, was to slow down transmission by not going out in public as much, not going out and doing things as much, and trying to be masked and limit things. Slow down transmission for long enough. Keep the numbers of people being infected and sending it to other people for long enough that they could figure out how to, again, vaccinate against it, and how to make mm-hmm. it so people didn't die from it. And we're almost to there. We're not to there completely, but we at least we are with the vaccine. We have the vaccine, but we are getting to the place better where...
Yeah, I personally, if I may interject here, I tend to take a cautious optimism to what's going on, okay? It's not everything's over. It's not...
No,
and
no,
it is not... It's improving. And that's to just acknowledge that it is improving.
Yes.
And to be real, in the middle of all of this... it has gotten to a point where I have started to get cautiously more comfortable with doing things like going to shows and doing mixing, which is, that's what I do. I'm the tech here. Like, I'm doing the tech work on the podcast while James essentially does the talking. Like, that's pretty much what's been going on. That's why you don't hear me.
The way I said it was better. I do the talk, you do the clicky clicky.
Yes. We said that before we started. And before this one, I was going through a bunch of text stuff to try to get this thing dialed in for me to make things easier in post-production and all that. But I'm live music and music in general, music production, it's been my life, man. Like, I have been all into it, and I have played a part in every single section of it. I've been, you know, stage tech, back of house sound, front of house sound, studio production, songwriting, live music, playing, performing on stage, like doing that. I have done this for pretty much my entire adult life. And when it stopped, I was very comfortable with not going anywhere, not doing anything, and waiting it out for a year or two. And as the years got by, it was really weird because I got kind of comfortable with not being Like, it's not that I was saying goodbye to doing all of that. I knew eventually it would come back. I will say this, getting the offer and coming out, and the only venue I'm doing live sound at right now is an outside venue. I still am not quite okay with doing things like, and this is a personal thing, like I said, I am not quite okay with going to movie theaters. I'm not quite okay with inside major gathering stuff. Like, I'm not going to eat at a restaurant, even though it's okay. I don't blame people for doing it. I'm not, and that's a bad way of saying it.
Well, no,
I do
no,
not.
No.
I don't hold any judgment to people who are comfortable with doing that at all. None.
Yeah,
zero.
And that's the thing is, this 2 years has given an opportunity for people to some extent express where their comfort level is in things.
Yeah.
And at least have reason to do it. And that's the thing is, while things are getting better, and they are getting better, they over the 2 years they've gotten better. From a year ago, it's gotten better. It's not back to normal yet. We're not back to the way the world was before, but it is better than it was. But you still need to work on things on your personal comfort level. To your example, you're saying that you personally still not comfortable with theater, still not comfortable with dining in at a restaurant.
Right.
And the thing is, and also, like you said, you're not in judgment of anybody else doing those things because it's their comfort level. I'll give you an example from my wife and I. We were with the whole I talked last podcast about the grocery outlet incident and the guns drawn on us.
Initially that night,
the restaurant that we wanted to go to was a different restaurant. And we, after we left the whole grocery outlet debacle, we drove by this other restaurant. It happened to be Chili's. The wife had something specific she wanted at Chili's. I was just looking forward to the chips and the salsa because that's literally the only thing I really like at Chili's. I'll eat other stuff, but I love their chips and salsa. They're just really good.
Yeah.
We drove past Chili's. Which every time I love driving past that because it's also right next to an In-N-Out Burger, and I taunt my wife every time we drive past In-N-Out Burger because I dislike In-N-Out Burger. She flat out hates it. The one time she had In-N-Out Burger, the one time she had it was the first time I ever had it, which was with you and announcer Scott on the way to the Metallica concert we saw, the last Metallica concert all of us were.
Yeah, and we recommended the hell out of it too.
You did. You and Scott were like, this is great. And we went there to eat it. And it was literally the most disappointing thing of the night, other than having to sit through a set by Machine Head.
I don't think Machine Head's a particularly bad band.
I'm just not a fan. They're not a bad band at all. I'm just not a fan.
I will say that it was disappointing that Rob had to be stuck on one side of the stage because he was stuck on a cable. When I was like, you could go to a guitar center, it's 6 p.m., you can integrate a small wireless setup. They have them there. We know you have the budget.
Then this is Mike the Tech.
Yep.
Or, I mean,
yeah, no,
or,
that's
I mean,
the disappointing
can't you,
part.
Can't you ask Metallica if they have any extra things that you can use? Because you know Metallica's got like 20 of each thing.
Well, yes, but they do, whatever. But that is not and they've got like backup reserves and stuff. But the reason why they have 20 of each of each, like, say, wireless unit or microphone is because they've also got 20 guitars. And it's not like borrow a guitar from Metallica and integrate it, because it has to be configured and integrated. That is different. All that stuff is handled at, chances are what happened, and I can speculate this, but be very accurate with it. So chances are what happened is it failed at the end of sound check, and they didn't have the capability to integrate a piece, but a single simple piece is not a big deal. You take it, you hook it into an input jack, you make sure that it runs, and you're done. Although they could have probably erred on the side of caution and said a cable is more reliable, let's just use a cable, which is fine, but again, disappointing. You could have dialed this shit out before, but you would have had to have done it during actual sound check to make sure it would survive a show. I know that full well.
And so,
but again,
and so this is
still
this
able
is
to
exactly,
do this though. That's not
this
impossible.
This is exactly the all the stuff that's been clouding in Mike's mind for the last 2 years. But anyway, back to Mike's
right, exactly. I haven't been able to exercise this, you know?
Back to the example, and I'll let you come back.
Yeah, go for it.
So we drive past the Chili's. I give the wife grief about the In-N-Out Burger. You want to go to In-N-Out Burger? No. Okay. Like demon voice from her. Well, we drive past Chili's, and Again, we're still trying to find our level of comfort. We do our date night stuff, and part of our actually saving money on date night and not buying a bunch of stupid crap, especially since we bought another car, is that we've started taking advantage of something I set up. Again, before the pandemic, I had set up myself with a movie club thing where I get discounts at a certain chain of movie theaters. I get one free ticket a month and discounts on snacks and other ticket purchases and whatnot. So you're like, okay, since things are opening up a little more, let's see about going back into the movies. And there was a discussion about that, and it's similar to what happened with the restaurant. We drive past the Chili's and the parking lot is full, and we look and see in the windows and there's tons of people in there. And we're like, we had talked about, okay, are we ready to go sit in a restaurant? Let's try it out. Let's see what we can do. Let's see how comfortable we feel. And we drive past that Chili's and it is just jam packed full of people. I look over at my wife. She's like, no, that's too much. There's too many people in there. And that's when we diverted and went to Denny's instead and had the most amazing pancakes ever, because Denny's was relatively empty, because Denny's isn't necessarily as popular anymore. And we sat way off by ourselves, away from other people. They let us choose where we wanted to sit, and we were away from other people the entire time. But same thing with the movie theater. We went and actually saw a movie last night, but we've picked movies that have either don't have the huge box office draw, or when they did, like when I went and saw the Spider-Man movie, because we talked about a couple podcasts ago, me going to see the Spider-Man movie. We picked them. We went to see them after they'd been in the theater for a while, and we've picked, because I can buy them online, buy the tickets online through the app that I have. They show you what tickets have been bought within the theater.
Ooh,
and we've selected seats. We sit right next to one of the, you know, the edge, the side of the theater. Uh-huh. Right? I give the wife has the seat right next to the edge. I sit on the inside, and we've picked seats away from other people, with it giving us like multiple row and seat distance from other people, and are still fully masked unless we're eating popcorn or drinking while we're inside the theater.
Yeah.
But we're still, we picked theaters that are relatively empty. With the movie we saw last night, it was one of the smaller theaters at the location we went to, but it was still, you know, still a decent sized theater. There were like 12 people in that movie, including us watching this movie.
Wow.
Because it wasn't necessarily a big blockbuster movie. It was Death on the Nile, which is the new Hercule Poirot movie. Kenneth Branagh directed it. It's from the Agatha Christie novels, the old detective novels.
I think I remember. Is this the same type of book series as Murder on the Orient Express?
Same exact series, same exact main character.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, same series, same everything.
Okay.
So, you know, we figured that wasn't going to be a big theater draw. We liked the first one. We also like a lot of the actors in there.
Yeah.
So we were really interested in going to see it. When I bought the tickets for it, there were very few tickets that were sold, and we were, you know, like seven seats away from the nearest people to us. So we're like, you're on one comfort level of these things,
yeah,
where you're not ready for the theater yet, not ready for the dining in experience. We're, I think, maybe one or two steps up where we're okay to go to these things, but we specifically pick the things that are very, very limited amount of people in them, not packed full of people, not very busy. We still go for having more than enough space. So we're maybe at a place where you might be in 6 months to a year, whenever right. you're ready to do it. We're at that point where it's like we're testing the waters, but we're still not going into super busy places. We're still trying to look for places that are, we have enough space for distancing, but to slowly integrate ourselves back into the normal world. And I mean, we're even in discussion at this point in time as to when we start sending our kids back to school, because they are having some issues with keeping up with things. We see that at this point, not being there is being a little more of a problem with some of their academics. And so we're already discussing, when do we feel comfortable doing this? When do we start moving this back into play? And that's the thing, is everybody's at their different levels of this, but that's for the last 2 years, we've been dealing with getting to where we can start at our own personal paces, moving back into some of the norms of society. I don't think everything will ever go back to how it was pre-pandemic, but right. at least there are some things that we can slowly, at our pace, at our comfort level, move back into. And this seemed to be these opportunities for you to do this outdoor thing. That's almost a perfect aligning of, you get to go back and do this stuff that you have enough knowledge that literally you can remember a concert from back in 2008, 2009, whenever mm-hmm. that was. You can remember a concert from then and what happened just from me saying, I didn't like the Machine Head gig. And you're like, yeah, it's because of this. And he should have done this and this and this. This is the knowledge that's in your head and the passion for this kind of work
yep.
that has been on hold for 2 years. And you have the capability to bring it out with this job that gives you the best possible scenario, being an outdoor gig. So you have the air circulation. You have the space that you need
yep.
for it. And you also only have it's a weekend gig. So it's a weekend commitment to this. So it's not like a 5 days a week commitment to have to be involved in this.
Exactly.
And that's kind of, it's like a perfect storm for what would be the way to slowly bring you back into the things you like to do while staying in your comfort level.
Exactly. That's what it really gets down to for me on the processing level. But I will tell you that considering all of the bits and pieces and points of it, because with me, I very much am just paying attention to all the little tiny details, and it's just like, it's like sirens going off all over the place. That's what it's felt like going out in public for the last 2 years for me, right? Yeah. It's been so god-awful overwhelming, and this situation really kind of brought me back down to earth a little bit. I wouldn't say that I was caught trapped in my own head or anything like that. I think it was just that I was really trying to process so much information all the time about trying to be aware and trying to be active, trying to be proactive, you know, trying to make sure that I'm, because I'm looking out for myself and I'm looking out for my wife. And those are the only two people that I'm really considering, because everybody else is going to go and do their own thing. But the two of us were very much a team on this. So both of us were approaching every potential public situation, hanging out with friends. We haven't had people over to our house in years, aside from the parents dropping by for 15, 20 minutes or something like that. And then that's it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I was jammed
in a room for yeah. almost 3 years. And that was because life got in the way in 2019, and then 2020, everything got in the way. So yeah, I mean, nobody has been over at my place.
I was there to pick up a freaking coffee table. So I physically had to come into your house to get the coffee table.
Yeah.
And even within that, I stood at least 8 feet away from your wife, and you were in somewhat close proximity to me, but you would have been anyway because of moving the coffee table, because the coffee table is only like a 3 foot coffee table. So you're going to have to be 3 feet away from me, helping me move the coffee table.
Well, right. Exactly.
Thing.
But we were still doing the mask thing.
Yeah. You were in a yeah. mask. I was in a mask, and I was in there for maybe 10, 15 minutes at most, talking to the two of you, watching a weird talking dog. That, you know, we just had a few moments, but that's the only, other than talking to you outside of your house, which I've done a few times since all of this has happened, that's the first time I've been inside your house since all of this went down, since we stopped. And I was over there at least once a week. I had a coffee cup that was there. Is it still there, or did I take it back? I think my coffee cup is still there.
I don't remember. I'm going to have to actually check my cabinets.
But I had a coffee cup that was there. I had like collectibles and crap. Gosh, that was there. I have a chair. Is my chair still there? Did you get rid of my
yes.
chair?
Yes. No, I believe okay. the chair is in, I believe the chair is in the garage. Should be in the garage.
Yeah. I mean, that was my chair. And I was there all the time, and yeah, no more being there. And so, yeah, it's a weird world, but you got this gig, but you have another gig that you're doing as well, right? Another kind of side project that you're doing, side work that you're doing, right?
Well, yeah, I do have another side gig that I'm doing during the week, and that's actually kind of cool. Getting back real quick before we get to the side gig, because that is a whole new experience for me. But getting back to this, I will tell you, after all this, after all the processing and everything that I was dealing with, it was really nice to just show up. I've only done 2 gigs, I think, there. And one of them was just kind of hanging out and watching everything and retesting the waters and figuring out everything, because having to relearn to do that for the first time in 2 years does take some time. And it was just, I'll tell you, like, it was so nice to sound check a kick drum and to, you know, tell the band, all right, hands up for what do you want, your feedback and your monitors and all that, and then to run out into the middle of the field with, and I'm doing this digitally with Wi-Fi, so I've got an iPad in my hand and I'm running all over the place. This is where I got, like, the majority of my exercise. Running around a venue that is outside, checking sound, moving from place to place to place, walking, running sometimes, running back to the board, making sure that it, like, that was an invigorating experience. That I realized how much I missed it.
Yeah.
And
I can liken that to to when I did the play I did 3 years ago when I came out and did that play at the Merry Wives of Windsor.
Yeah.
Doing that again after all the years it had been, because it'd been like 18 years since I'd been on stage. The first couple of days was a little bit, I had a little bit of trepidation doing it, you know. Especially once we got to the stage, it was like, I remember all this stuff, but it's been a long damn time. And then suddenly it was like, get out on that stage and it felt right. It felt perfect.
Felt great. Yeah. It just felt like home, man.
And it was just hit your blocking, do your this, do your that.
Yep.
Communicate with people. Yeah.
I get
the feeling.
Yeah. I cannot wait. That honestly, like, lit a fire up under my ass for everything else that I've been, you know, looking at doing. I want to get, like, I do recording, like, in my house. And obviously I've got the home recording system for podcasting, but I'm talking like I've done an entire album with another band where they brought in all their musicians, and as nerve-wracking, as frustrating as it could be working with other people sometimes, especially those that are not experienced with the whole workflow of everything, I'll tell you, that's where I get, you know, that's where I get my where I
let's be real about something. You said you have the recording stuff to be able to do a podcast. Doing a podcast with the recording stuff that you have is kind of like leaf blowing with the solid state boosters that they use to launch the space shuttle into orbit. Okay, that's the best analogy that I can come up with using any jet engine to leaf blow. That's the best analogy that I can come up with, because I know people that podcast with an app on a tablet and just have a microphone hooked up to that. The soundboard and the stuff that he uses, all the things that he has, I'm probably even using the wrong words to describe it, but all the stuff that he has just to record the podcast, he can do things that most podcast people never even think of, because he has a full recording setup to do a whole band. He's done
all the things.
Three of his own albums for his own bands that he's been in. Plus, like he says, stuff for other bands. Plus, a lead singer from another band from multiple other bands that he played with and that he was friends with called him up one day and was like, "Hey, I have some stuff I want to do. Let's do it," and put together a couple of songs for that. At least one that got fully recorded. And it's just like, it's what he has is way. This is like, it's literally like, okay, I see one bug. I'm going to, you know, drop a thermobaric bomb on the house and destroy that one bug, as opposed to just a rolled up newspaper to kill the bug. That's the level of, like, way more than you need for a podcast.
I have seen some shit though.
Isn't it nice though that you can think about, you can start thinking about, I can finally use all of this stuff to do more than just make sure that that me and James don't sound completely awful when I put this online. That's gotta feel good. Like, I spent so much money on all this stuff, and all I do is this podcast with it for the last 2 years. Damn, I need to do more.
Dude, I'm telling you, I even in prep, because I was working, like, this stuff wasn't making me money. Like, and it honestly doesn't make me all the money. But when the show stopped and the retail gig stopped, because I was working a retail gig before, which wasn't making me much. Like, the fact that I was technically making less money doing, because I qualified for unemployment like most other Americans did when everything stopped and everybody was furloughed and all that kind of stuff, because I was furloughed too. But the fact that I wasn't spending money on gas or going anywhere means that it gave me some extra funds to actually fund some certain studio equipment that has been sitting for years, not used yet. And you're right. I am chomping at the bit. Like, you think that the stuff that I've been working with now, like, I've seen some people actually do stuff that's like, I like your comparisons. I think they're great. But I've talked to some people that have been able to get some shit that's like, it's like hiring NASA for a monster truck rally.
Yeah.
And man, it makes me want to have a monster truck rally. Like, I want to bring a drummer in here and record in the living room and do all the things. Like, I have been waiting to be able to do this. And, it made me miss it so much. Like, I didn't realize how much I missed doing all this, and it made me so ready. Like, I'm so ready, man. I want to do stuff, but again, take it at a proper pace where it's as safe as it could be. You know?
Yeah. Well, just, I mean, you just need to set up, you have a big enough porch. You can just set up like a hazmat shower on the porch and just have everybody have to come in and hazmat shower themselves. And then pop into clean suits and they'll be good coming in the house.
Yeah. Fair. That's totally doable.
Anyway, we're going to take a break at this moment in time. When we come back, Mike is going to mention a little something about his other side gig, his making things.
Yes.
I will be giving an update on the toasted marshmallow. God, I love that title. That was fantastic,
man. Oh yeah.
And other misadventures with James's new car, including the wife has jokes. Again.
Wonderful.
It isn't enough to call me a grapefruit. There's more. And I know now sure what that grapefruit comment meant. I know. plus we may or may not get around to mentioning the weird talking dog. So we'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled XENCHRON, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody.
All right.
So, oh God, I just realized something.
What?
Hold on, wow, I just had a brain moment. So today is the 12th, right?
Hold on, a brain moment?
I had a brain moment, yes. today is the 12th, right?
Yes.
And this will be, when we're talking, people will be hearing this on the 14th, right?
Yes.
And we intend to record again on Thursday because Mike doesn't have weekend availability now. We're going to be recording on Thursday nights.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what Thursday night is going to be?
Yes.
Thursday night will be.
Yeah. Oh, continue. You go ahead and announce.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. It'll be St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
So you know what's going to happen on Thursday night's podcast.
I am quite sure that I will be joining you if you are considering.
I'm just making.
Are,
I'm just
are we making of the same mindset here, sir?
I am making the announcement now that that Thursday night is going to likely be a drunken podcast.
Hell yeah! I am there
because I know I'm making at least one big enough, just single one, possibly two corned beefs. I do not make cabbage because I'm not I like cabbage, but I like Brussels sprouts better. So I make Brussels sprouts and I make them in my air fryer because they're amazing in the air fryer. But I will have cabbage Brussels sprouts, corned beef, and my red potatoes. and I will have Guinness. I will most certainly have Guinness.
Oh, wow. Oh, and I like this idea.
I figure by the time we're doing this in the evening, I figure by the time that we're doing this in the evening, I will probably be at least two Guinnesses deep, maybe three. And so we will see how much fun we're going to have with multiple Guinnesses at that time.
Oh my goodness. Oh, we are going to go off the rails and just be dumb.
I mean, aren't we usually anyway?
Yeah, I mean, we might as well do it right. Oh my gosh. The remnants of a St. Patrick's Day podcast is going to, oh my gosh.
And maybe since we're not going to announce the exact day, we can also talk about something else that is happening sometime this coming week. That's another big event that'll be happening the week. We'll talk about that on Thursday too. We'll be drunk enough to talk about it.
Oh boy.
If for some reason, this may require some editing on your part. If for some reason anybody says the exact day, you can bleep that out since it's maybe considered personal protected information. I don't know. That's up to the person. That's up to the person whose information it is. But anyway, it just hit me as we came back on here. Oh my gosh, we're gonna have a St. Patrick's Day episode, and
oh, no.
I will be imbibing, which means that today I just need to buy more Guinness because I have some, but I think it's the Guinness coffee brew one.
Yeah,
which is really good, but like that's not what's appropriate to be drinking on St. Patrick's Day. Appropriate to drink the next morning. But I work the next morning, so maybe I work the next morning. We'll see. Anyway, all right, back to what we were talking about, which I believe we were leading into talking about your other gig that you're doing, your side thing that you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So I have the live sound stuff that I'm doing starting to open up on the weekends, and like James said, we're going to be doing our podcast. We're going to be recording on the 17th because I have my weekends closed up now. So during the week, however, I have a relatively banker's hours ish job, which is kind of nice. I actually got a phone call in the middle of this whole. So what happened the weekend I was let go from my previous job, I started getting phone calls all over the place. The first one was for the live sound that I was talking about. And the second one was one where there was a gentleman that actually hit me up that does like other live entertainment stuff, and he hit me up for some live entertainment equipment. He needed like juice for a smoke machine or something like that, and hold on a second,
other yeah. live entertainment stuff, is that like code for strippers?
I mean, no.
Maybe. Oh, okay.
Unless it would be the most insane stripper show you'd ever seen. Because I'll just mention, he does pyro. Like, he does that's lights a stripper and pyro.
Show. That's could a you stripper imagine show a I would watch.
Yeah, right? I
that
would
is
go.
A stripper show I would watch.
Right?
That's a stripper. That's a stripper show my wife would be okay with me watching because she would watch it too.
Yeah, right? Dude, come on. Strippers and totally. Explosions? Gosh, that
yes.
That has Robert Rodriguez written all over it.
Yes. Strippers and fire. Yes. Even though he didn't put any of that into the man or the book of Boba Fett, but whatever.
I guess he has Star to stick. I guess the Disney gods had to strike down on his creative freedom or whatever.
Seriously, gosh. Disney, relax a little bit. Let Robert Rodriguez have strippers and fire in his Star Wars stuff. Anyway,
could you imagine his character design, like, you know, gun legs and shit ended up being in Star Wars? Well, I mean, that would be amazing. I
mean, he did bring in Jennifer Beals to be a Twi'lek, so that was kind of nice.
What's
those Twi'leks? Twi'leks are hot.
Wait, what's okay, you gotta educate me on the Twi'leks real quick. Just let me know which one it is.
They're the aliens with the head tails.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
And the chick versions of them are like super hot.
Oh, all right.
In general, they're super hot. They typically show a lot of boob, which means that if they have mammary glands, then they are placental mammals. So that's all you need to know. Anyway, I'm just saying, if they have mammaries, they are placental that's mammals, which means that down below they should be very similar to humans. That's God. All you need to know. That's all you need to know to make
considering
it good.
Considering that, you know what, man, there are.
considering the fact that in canon, in the Rebels TV series, a human does have a wife that is a Twi'lek, and they do have a child. So that means that works.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, the interspecies capabilities are there.
It works. Yeah. So
I'm not knocking anybody for the preference. It's completely cool.
Yeah, the DNA is compatible, and so are the parts, apparently, and that's all that I care about.
I just didn't.
Anyway.
I was going to say, I didn't expect the conversation to go this direction.
Anyway, so you have this person that wanted some stuff for their live show setup. So what other calls did you get?
Well, those were the two main calls. Aside from other stuff for in-house, I was talking about it earlier. Like, the other stuff was like in-house phone calls. Hey, help me with my recording rig.
So how did this lead to the side gig?
Okay, so this led to the side gig because this gentleman hit me up for fog machine juice that he needed for an upcoming gig. And he was like, hey, are you still at insert previous music related retailer? I can't remember if I said it, but I'm just going to avoid it. And I was like, no, haven't been there for like a year, but I also don't do anything right now. So what's going on? He's like, oh, well, I run a sign shop. You need work? And I was like, yes. Yes, I do. I'm booked on the weekends for sound, but I can do work during the week. And he's like, sweet, come on down. So I'm basically, long story short, I started apprenticing, sort of, assisting. Not quite. It's part apprenticeship, part assisting, because I'm learning graphic design and I'm learning how to create signs from like legit hardware. And, you know, I'm learning things like, next week I'm going to start. This guy's got everything that you could think of for signage building, which is, I mean, really big when it comes down to certain types of businesses like musicians who need, and this guy does everything. He does t-shirt printing. He does embroidery, but also like metalworking for signage, neon bending. And he does other cool stuff too, like banners and vinyl print and that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting here looking at this going, oh my goodness, this is like the other half of all of the things that I would, how it made stuff I would like to do.
Yeah.
So the last week.
So hold on a second.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, go ahead with your story, then I will bring in my pieces.
Okay. So like the last week we finished up doing an entire sign that was cut out of plate steel and aluminum and like little iron, like bars and stuff that I had to cut iron bars. I had to create hinges and punch holes for rivets. And we used a plasma cutter on a huge sheet of plate steel and created an ovular sign with custom cut lettering. It's all computer controlled too. Like, you send an image file to this thing and it cuts it straight out of the sheet of metal using lasers and stuff. And I'm like, this is the most fascinating shit, like way outside of my realm of knowledge. But I'm just like, this is the coolest thing ever. But this guy's doing like one thing he did, because his shop is so tiny. It's like the shop is about the size of like a one car garage. Okay. Like,
okay.
But like a deep one, like, you know, it's a metalworking shop essentially, but this guy is able to fit, I would say, one and a half to maybe two cars big total. Mm-hmm. But the door itself, like the lift door, is, you know, a one car garage size lift door. But this guy's got, he's got a welding table. He bends neon glass. He does a lot of stuff, which is just really freaking cool. But he's fitting things like a paint booth and I don't know what kind of,
basically,
table
he's figured out how to make the best use of all the available space while still giving him the ability to fabricate everything he needs to fabricate.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of it is, and he used to have a space that was at least twice the size of this, but due to the pandemic and the inability for business to come in, he had to move to this smaller space. So I help him, you know, move things out and move things back in. And it's really cool. It's really cool. Like,
I was just thinking of some of the for your previous band Prilosis, the logo for that. Didn't you have like a metal version of that logo?
Like we a giant did, metal version I of it. I don't know that's where something that went.
That's something that could totally have been made in this place. And the
100%.
The thing about it is now you're learning the skills too of to be able to have made something like that. I know you guys had light boxes at one point that you'd step up on.
Yeah.
Those would be easy things to fabricate.
Yep.
But just thinking all of the things that, especially that, well, and even your current band has a very, very specific identifiable logo, and having those, you can, the ability to fabricate those things and learn how to do that, harkens me back to one of the coolest things I ever saw one of my friends get as like a teenager as a present, is somebody had got him a metalworked logo for what was his favorite band at the time. And it was a piece of steel that the logo had been attached to. And the band was Nine Inch Nails. And it was a logo that was designed. Cool. It was a logo that was designed with actual 9-inch long nails that were attached to this piece of sheet metal and there were, you know, they were designed to do the NIN, the NIN logo with these actual 9-inch long nails attached to this steel. It was amazing.
Cool.
Oh yeah, it was the coolest damn thing in the world, because I mean, that's about as you know, close as you're going to get to a physical representation of the band and music. It was a really neat thing, and that's what I'm thinking of with this knowledge of fabrication, this ability that you could create these things. I'm just thinking like you can make actual real like Metallica Ninja Stars, and right? That would just be awesome. I would throw those at people and get in trouble for doing it, but I don't care. I'd be like, I am a Metallica Ninja, but just saying. That's just very cool to be able to learn to fabricate those things.
Yeah.
And also use your creative side in a different way than what you're used to.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Yeah, exactly. I've just like, it's just learning those crafts is like, and this is way the hell out of my wheelhouse, but the type of stuff I'm learning, like, oh, here's one. I have, or had, I would say had, the worst soldering hand in the world because I never knew how to solder electronics. And I even took a course in college that supposedly taught me how to do this. And it was so, I remember that the class was so haphazard, and I learned a couple of things that were kind of cool, but that stuck with me, like certain properties of how to work with electronics and soldering and all that. But the problem is I never learned how to solder to repair my own electronics, which is, when it comes down to audio engineering, is tantamount for survival in the business. Because if you can buy a simple part and then board solder it, you don't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment to buy another grip of XYZ part. And that's part of the whole audio engineering thing, is you learn how to fix your shit. But this, so one of the things I did was this giant sign, this sheet metal sign, we actually put an underglow underneath the letters. So the letters were sitting on top of this. So this sign is a big ovular sheet, and we TIG welded, which is basically, it's like electric welding a bolt to the back of a piece of sheet metal. Think of it that way.
Okay.
So we TIG welded bolts, and then we drilled holes for the locations of those bolts so that the letters were sitting exactly on the sign. And then we had to drill a couple of extra holes and ran wiring and ran LED light strips down the lettering so that when you looked at the lettering in low light, it had like an underglow, like you've seen car underglow, like, you know, on, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, but
yeah,
so they had that going with LEDs. I put the LEDs in, I wired them, and I soldered the lines together so that they fit. I basically wired everything together and soldered the lines together, crimped them, and I learned how to solder and soldered them to a transformer, and then we soldered them to an electrical 120-volt line so that it worked as a custom piece and did everything that it was supposed to. And I was just like that. And it was just because we had to do it for the job. But that just taught me from this one little job, like something I'm going to be able to do for the rest of my life now, that I can do electrical repair. And I haven't been able to do it I've been trying to learn how to do this stuff right for practically my entire life. I never actually learned how to do it. And being able to sit there and do it over and over and learn the craft of it was so satisfying to me.
Plus, now you know how to add sweet lights to everything.
Dude, right? That's yes. That's awesome on its own. And that's really cool. But now I can get into these pieces of equipment that I've had. Like, because there's the thing, I'm working with video games and I'm working with electronic sound equipment all day long. If something farts out on me, I don't have to go buy a new piece. I literally can go, okay, let's get a resistor that costs 15 cents and just solder it onto the board because I know how to do that now. And that makes all the difference in the world, especially with like your game controller goes out or my microphone stops working properly and I need to put new wiring into it because something fried. Like, I can do that now. And it's that, I know this sounds so trivial to who knows. I don't know who's listening to this, and it may sound trivial, but it's just so, the self-sufficiency is so satisfying to me.
To be completely honest with you, I thought you knew how to do all that already. So like, I'm having a little bit of moment of like, you, I thought you were the guy that I could take that stuff to, but apparently you're not.
I wasn't. Yeah,
you are.
So now I am. Yeah,
it's good for me to know when I get my things that break, I'm bringing them to you now. You're gonna have to take care of them.
Okay.
So that's kind of Mike's development and what happened to him over, especially over that kind of 2 week period where this is all that happened. Last podcast, we talked about what happened to me during that kind of 2 week period where we didn't have 1 week, we didn't have the podcast, but the 2 weeks that were kind of happening during that. This is kind of the stuff that happened to Mike during that same time frame, which is why we kind of, all of these new things happening. That's why we did take that 1 week break, was because there was just so much going on in both of our lives. Mike learning a whole bunch of stuff, my life going a bit crazy. And I actually have some updates on it. Can we move into that? Is that good?
Sure. Yeah. Let's go there.
I have some updates on some of the stuff that I talked about last podcast and some of the you know, things that have happened. The first one I will update is again about the, as you titled it with the title of the episode, the toasted marshmallow. And that's in reference to my wife's van that she loves.
Yes.
We still do not have the van back, and there's okay. a reason for that. This is the funniest damn thing in the whole world.
Really?
This is only supposed
to be a few days, right?
Yes. Yes. The one thing that's holding this back from being completed, the one thing they haven't gotten yet, was the original item that we were already going to have worked on before all of the things went bad with the navigation system and all of that. And that's the seatbelt. They have not received the seatbelt.
So they got all the other crazy shit down. Like, all of that is handled. You got the car running. Yeah. But they can't get the damn seatbelt?
They're waiting. The seatbelt has not arrived in their shipment yet. They haven't gotten the shipment of the new seatbelt piece yet.
Okay, I have to ask I have to ask this as an in-joke here. Well, as a pretty understandable in-joke. The seatbelts aren't made in Russia, are they?
It's Toyota, so I'm assuming not. It's a Toyota vehicle. I'm assuming that they're not made in Russia.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's... It's not a bad joke, given the circumstances.
Right.
I'm good with the jokes. So we're still waiting for the van to get that part. And once that part's in, it should be the day, basically the day that arrives at the service center. They should be able to get it done, and we should be able to pick it up at that point. It's just waiting for that part to come in, which these things happen. Again, this is not something I'm going to call and raise a huge fit about, because these things do happen. I've been there where it's taken forever for a part to come in, and it just happens. There's nothing you can do about it sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just, and it's not a part. It's an older vehicle, so it's not just a part you're going to find at any auto parts place. It's something that you have to order away from.
Yeah.
Order away for, I should say. And you have to get per I'm sure the specifications on the warranty situation, you have to get original manufacturer parts. So you can't even get, like, even if there was something aftermarket, you can't get that. You have to get original manufacturer. And for something that's this much older, it may take a little while to find the storeroom, wherever that might be, that it's hidden in. It's not just something you're just going to go to any store and buy. So that takes time sometimes.
You know, I have a similar situation with that. Please go on with yours and I'll let you know, because I'm waiting on something too.
It's just one of those. It's, again, it's not like it's something that is a normal replaceable part that you always have to deal with, that you can just go and get anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. That's
what's the one you're dealing with.
So, one of the things that I'm doing to help expand my studio capabilities is I may have mentioned it here. I don't know. Have I mentioned the tape machine thing, like me looking for it and learning how they work and all that kind of stuff? I don't know if I have on the podcast.
To me, I don't remember for sure if you've discussed it on the podcast, but you mentioned it to me.
Okay. So long story short on it for everybody here. I got the bug about working with analog equipment when I replaced a cassette player that I had integrated in my piece, and I started looking up and basically learned via just searching on YouTube, that tape machines got a lot more affordable. And what I'm talking about, tape machine, we're talking like old school reel-to-reel tape that was used in professional grade studios that before people were recording with computers, right? So later market tape machines were, they retained their value for a pretty good amount of time, but the tape machine in a home studio used to be like Cadillac level status, where you would, you know, now they're not as well sought after, but there has been very much a resurgence in old school analog equipment for just younger generations in general. So tape a lot of the time is kind of like what everybody is. It's very sought after in the recording studio setup, where people make what are called plugins for it. So it's just basically something you could throw into digitally recorded stuff to kind of make it sound like tape a little bit, and people really like it, but nothing beats the real thing. Long story short. So I invested in a tape machine, and I don't have this tape machine yet because the person who is an angel is refusing to bring it out until, and I basically have it reserved and I've got the money on hold, and this thing is practically mine, but it's on hold right now because this person is not satisfied with delivering it until it is in top pristine shape, which is crazy because this thing is like 30 years old and you can't get the parts for it anymore. So instead of, and it turns out that there was a small issue with one of the things. I was like, oh, I'm willing to deal with that. I know it comes with the territory. If you buy a tape machine now, they're all old. They all have to be get torn open. All the parts need to be replaced in them, blah, blah, blah. And you have to kind of like work your way around to get them functional. This gentleman is refusing to bring it over to deliver it, which is, this thing is it's like a 150-pound machine that sits and stands from the floor, and it stands like 3.5 feet tall so that you can operate it and all this kind of stuff. The reason why he's not doing it is because one of the pieces was a little wonky, and it turns out that the piece that needs to be replaced is a spring for like a tension arm that holds the tape tight while it's playing, which is very integral to the operation of the machine. But this part isn't made anymore. You can't go call the manufacturer that still exists because they don't have it in their archives because this thing is 30 years old. So I now have had to sit here and hunt and wait for him to try to find this piece from someone. He couldn't get it, so he finally got a hold of me, and I have to go eBay this piece so that I could then get it to him so he can install it properly and make sure that it operates full well before I get the machine. But in the meantime, the trade-off on this is the fact that I'm going to get a perfectly working piece ready to go when I get it here. So I'm not like losing my mind over it, but it's been close to a month wait to try to find a spring that probably cost 15 cents for the manufacturer back when it was made. And it's probably still a 15 to 25 cent piece of equipment.
Yeah, I'd buy like 5 of them. Just because, you know, if once you find it, it's like however many you have, I want them all.
Right.
Because I don't ever want to have to worry about this.
Well, the problem is in order to find the piece, in order to get an example of what the piece is, it's a fully functioning piece first, I had to buy the assembly the spring was attached to. And that cost me $70.
Dear God.
So, and I was like, I am going to invest in this piece because, like, I'm getting a killer price on it too. And this guy's being so, he's being so good about it that I'm like, no, I'm buying this piece. Like, you're giving me a deal on the piece. And I'm not going to talk about how much I'm buying this thing for or anything. I don't want to jinx it, but I will talk about how much the part is. The part is $70 for the assembly. But once I find that part, I can get that piece and I can get a match for that piece and buy 20 of those damn things if I can find out what it is, because machined parts are practically the same. You just need to go and find the right hardware store that holds it. Yeah. You get the match, you're good to go. You can buy those things in a box.
Yeah, and buy as many as you can so you don't have to worry about it again.
Yeah, and then turn around and flip them on eBay for more.
Yeah, so that's what we're waiting on for the marshmallow to come back home is the single seatbelt piece, and so that's great. But this had an interesting result here at home. The wife had an appointment that she had to get to, and she had the option of she was hoping her van would be back in enough time. But it wasn't, because it's, again, still not back. So she had the option of either taking the truck from the household to her appointment, which is a vehicle that she's comfortable in driving, or taking my new car, which she hadn't driven yet. Now, I will add that a few years ago, the wife had some issues with driving in general. She had gotten to a point where driving made her very, very uncomfortable. She didn't like to do it. She had to work her way back up to being able to drive, even being able to ride in vehicles, because there were some issues with her for a while. Nothing specifically happened. She was just going through a time. The van was something that she fell in love with because it was a larger vehicle, but doesn't feel like a large vehicle. Those vans specifically have a very car feel to them, as opposed to like the giant boaty feel you get with certain SUVs or other types of vans. It's a very, very, very comforting feel, a lot of room and space, and yet it's not that big a vehicle. It's deceptive in that way. And she's become very happy with driving that van wherever she needs to go. But that wasn't her option. She had the truck, which she's driven many, many times before, or this brand new car, which she hadn't driven at all. And so she actually made the choice to try driving the new car.
Oh, really? Ah, okay.
She drove the new car. And of course, she gets to her destination, and she goes and makes her first mistake in the new car.
Oh, no.
And almost has a heart attack because she was worried. Obviously, just like I got worried every time. I believe I said last time on the last podcast, when the tire pressure sensor first showed up on her van, I was freaking out that I had broke her van. And it was just tire pressure sensor. But I was in full panic mode. Oh my God, I don't want to break her van. She was in full panic mode because the design of this car, this Mini Cooper, you do not use the key to start it. It's one of those newer cars where you don't start with the key. It's not a push button start, which is the more common thing for the non-key starting vehicles. You know about this, right? Many modern vehicles, you don't stick the key in to start it. You push a button.
Yes.
This one, because of the goofy design of this thing, the kitschy design that these minis have, it doesn't like to use buttons. It likes to use toggle switches because it wants to look, it has its own little personal design. If you're in a Mini, you're using toggle switches. Now, it doesn't use that for the environmental controls, like the air conditioning and whatnot, but all your lights, all your other things, that light ring that I showed you the picture of where it was purple in the picture, there's a toggle switch to change that basically to any color that you want because it's an LED thing. And those lights, by the way, there's lights overhead, small LED lights overhead and by your feet, by the door handles that match whatever color you flip the light thing to. And I think there's 12 colors you can flip to. Depending on the music, like if it's certain music, I'll flip it over to red because it's a nice appropriate feel for the music. I like to keep it on purple because I love purple. But it's all little toggle switches.
Yeah.
So to start the vehicle, there's a toggle switch to start it. When you get in the vehicle, as long as you got the fob with you, you step on the brake, you hit the toggle switch, it'll turn the car on. If you're not on the brake and you hit the toggle switch, all it'll do is turn the electronics on in the car. So like when you turn your key to the electric position, mm-hmm. The power position, but not start it.
Yes.
Okay. So you also do that to stop the car, or turn the car off, not stop the car, but turn the car off. So when you're parked, you step on the brake, hit the thing, it will turn the car off.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And it'll keep the electronics on until you hit it a second time, not being on the brake, mind you. When you're not on the brake, you hit it a second time, it'll turn the electronics off. Or when you lock the door, it'll turn the electronics off. Okay.
Right. Right.
So your stereo keeps going until you do one of those other things. So she pulls into a parking space where she was going. Pulls into the parking space. Goes to turn the vehicle off. What did she not do? She didn't put the car in park.
Oh, God.
It's in drive, and she goes to turn the vehicle off. Because it's goofy anyway. Like, I'm still reaching into my pocket to try to pull out a key, or when I stop, reaching up to the column to try to grab a key, because I'm so used to doing that. I've right. only ever driven a car that's had that. This is the first car I've ever had that does not have a key for the ignition.
Right.
It's a little weird.
So is it just, so the way that those works, is it you just always have the key in your pocket and it just knows from vicinity?
Yeah. Oh, actually, okay. there's even on the door handle, there's a button on the door handle that as long as you're in vicinity, if you push the button handle, the doors. Fun little note.
So it won't open if you're not near it.
It's exactly. If you're not near enough with the fob. Fun little note. Something that is a mini thing. If you hit the unlock button on your fob, it unlocks the doors, right? Like you expect it to.
Right.
If you hold the unlock button down, it'll roll down all your windows.
Whoa. Okay.
It's a thing that I don't know if other cars have it, but the minis have this. Basically, you want to air out your car before you get into it, so you can unlock it and air it out.
Oh, that's cool. So if it gets a little too hot or anything like that.
Yeah. Or let's say you just come out of the grocery store and you're putting groceries in the back of it. You can unlock the car, right? Push the button to open up the back doors because they'll pop open.
Yeah.
But then you can hold down the unlock button and roll all your windows down so that your car's airing out. Instead of having to hop in and put the power on and roll down the windows, you can just push that button. It rolls down all your windows, air the car out while you're putting groceries in the back. It's a really cool deal.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really cool deal. So anyway, yeah. The car is still in drive, and she flicks the switch to turn the car off.
Oh, no.
Actually, this was really, really cool, because this was something I worried about. I worried about, what if I'm driving down the freeway, and like I'm never going to reach for the key and try to turn the key off in a car, you know, because you've learned for years, never, you don't do that until you're stopped. You don't do
that. Right, right.
What if while I'm driving down the freeway, I accidentally flick that switch? What's going to happen to my car? It had me worried. Had me like, what's up with this?
Okay.
Well, there's that the screen I showed you that had the music on it, right?
Yeah.
The infotainment screen.
Yeah.
It pops up on the screen. You can't do that right now. The transmission is engaged. It's a warning that pops up on the screen. She didn't tell me if there was like any dings or anything, you know, dinging noises to warn you, but a warning pops up on the screen. You can't do that right now.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave. Yeah.
And she puts it in park and doesn't, she tells me about it afterwards. She's like, I thought I'd broken your car for a second. I was like, oh my God, I broke his car. And it did this. And I'm like, you know what? To be completely honest with you, I am so glad you did that, because I was wondering what the hell might happen. And I didn't want to try anything to possibly break it, but I was worried. What if you accidentally flick that switch at some point or another? Is there a safeguard built in? You know, like there is a safeguard built into most modern transmissions that if for some reason you're in drive and you're moving and it shifts into reverse or park, it'll shut your engine down. It'll just completely shut off your engine. So that you don't destroy your transmission.
As a safety? Oh, that's killer.
Yeah. There's a set. Don't try it to see if it works, but it does work. I've accidentally done it before. I have a vehicle that the gauge on the column when you shift does not read in the right place. So you don't know if you're in drive or in second. So sometimes you have to jimmy it a little. And I try to go into neutral to see if I was into to be able to pop back down into drive while I was about going 20 miles an hour, no gas, just coasting on a street. And somehow it accidentally popped into reverse, shut everything down, started back up, still worked fine. But I'm just saying, don't try it, but they do have that in vehicles. It does shut it down, so you don't just shred your transmission.
Dude, my mind is going places with this, just with this consideration, like with all the crazy new, like, it sounds crazy new high-tech nuts, right? And obviously it's making us both sound old as shit.
But this car's like, the car's like 6 years old. This car, my car is six years old.
6 years old? And it has all this in it?
It's a 2016 and it has all this stuff in it. And yeah, so for us, this is all like, oh my God, this is new, because all we've ever had is that's like all you've had is older cars. So this stuff is like, this is the stuff that the younger generation, like, yeah, that's been in cars for years. It's like,
no, right.
Well, yeah. I didn't have any new car for years.
Right. Exactly. So now imagine, like, this is like, I think this may be the Xennial / Gen X / elder millennial type
issue
with newer with newer cars or with the this is our cursive. You know what I mean? You know how boomers are always around about like, oh, you want to fool the kids? Like, just write all your notes in cursive, like, which is hilarious because they can still read them. Yeah. No, it's such a misperceived thing. But this is like, it's making me think that this is going to happen. Like, give it another 5 years and a first driver is going to pop into an older car, like an 89 or something like that. And they're going to be like, where's the button? And you're like, bitch, button? No. What are you talking about?
No, you stick the key in there and you turn. It's like, well, it's like having your brights, the thing that's on your brights.
Yeah.
Be a little knob on the floor that you have to step on.
Wait, do you remember those? Is a knob on the floor?
No, that's what it used to be. That's what it used to be in older cars.
I didn't know that.
Like in cars from like the 50s, 60s, and 70s and whatnot.
Oh, see, that I didn't know. It's a knob on the floor?
Well, it's not
rather
a knob,
than in like the console, like in the main console on the front?
It's kind of a push button.
Now, is it high beams or headlights in general?
High beams.
Okay.
It would be set up to where your left foot was, where your left foot would be. And so when you're driving at night and you have your regular lights on, you'd be somewhere where you need high beams. You'd step on that button and it would turn the high beams on. Step on it again, turn them off. That was on older cars.
Oh, so man, that sounds like a terrible idea. You're going to use your clutch foot for the.
Typically, I don't know if it's
the beams.
I don't know if it did it on stick shifts because I never drove any stick shifts and my family never had them.
Yeah,
I know it was on automatics. But like the truck that I don't know if you ever remember the orange and. That I used to drive that was my parents. It was a 76 Chevy pickup.
No, I don't think I remember that one.
I may have already broken that one before we became friends. Because I know you remember the Sunbird, but
I do remember the Sunbird.
But that truck had one of those had the button there because that's again I think all the way even into the 80s that's where the high beams was on a button there. So that's another one that like you. If you've ever seen the meme where there's a it looks like it's the floorboards of a car and there's a round button and they ask you what that is, that's what it is. That's the high beams.
It's the high beam button?
That's the high beams.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's one
I feel
of those,
like I just learned a secret code. That's crazy.
That is one of those things that depending on the age and depending on which pieces of technology that you've been a part of. I mean, this is a car that has adaptive headlights. And so they only this one has adaptive fog lights. So the fog lights will come on when it senses that it needs to have fog lights come on. I'm speaking my new car. It's also got you can turn the lights on to this position and it shuts the lights off with the car and turns them on with the car. You don't have to worry about your lights being left on after you've turned the car off because that doesn't happen with this thing.
Because
it's automatic. The van from the wife's van, the Marshmallow, that also has lights that you can set it to automatic to where they you have daytime running lights. And then when it gets dark enough, it becomes nighttime lights and it will shift on you and turn the lights on inside for you. The new Mini, it also has windshield wipers that are, they sense it when it's raining and will automatically start.
Shut the fuck up. No way.
That's a thing. That's a thing.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. Yeah, that's a thing.
Windshield wipers that auto sense rain.
Yes. Yes. And it's not just this Mini. That is a common thing on cars now. I don't know if it's necessarily
stock windshield wipers. Dude, like we're like one step away from actual flying cars at this point. This feels like the fucking future, man. Are you kidding me?
But it's not, though. And no, we're not even close to the flying cars. Oh, my God. What would have to happen with flying cars? Could you imagine the horrors with that? But anyway, these are all little things that are totally foreign to us because we've not had new enough vehicles. And so I'm learning all these wonderful things with this car. But yes, so she attempted to shut it off I've shut off a car while it's still in drive and then freaked out because I couldn't start the car again. Couldn't start, couldn't figure out what was wrong, and then realized that it was in drive. Shifted it over to park or neutral. By the way, most automatics, you can start them in neutral if there's something wrong with park. They just won't let you start them in reverse or drive. There's a block that stops you from doing that.
Wow.
But I've had that where I thought a car was completely dead because it was in drive and I couldn't get it to start. Shifted it noticed it was in drive, finally shifted it into park. It started just fine. I was like, oh, I'm stupid. But that's, you know, I've done it before, but that's what she's brand new car. She had never driven in it before. She was still freaking out about the, cause again, hers is still, her van is still a key start. She's still freaking out about the weird thing. And I'm glad she did it, cause it answered my question. By the way, there are certain cars where the, there's not a gear shift. There's a knob, there's a dial that you turn to turn the gears, and they actually stopped producing them that way because there were people that were destroying their cars by thinking they were turning the volume on the radio or changing the radio and grabbing the knob that was the transmission knob and turning it.
Oh no.
Yeah, that was a thing for a while. That was a thing for a while.
Oops.
Yeah. But anyway, she got the opportunity to drive it. I asked her afterwards what she thought of it. She's like, it was all right. I said, so you like it? She goes, a little bit. I said, so you like it enough that you're cool with me having it, but you don't like it so much that you're going to steal it from me, right? She's like, yeah, that's a good assessment of it. I'm like, perfect.
That's exactly what you want.
That's exactly how I want it to be.
Wonderful.
But then she, as we were talking more about it, and she's like, yeah, no, it's great. It does this. I'm comfortable riding it, driving it. I can drive it if I need to. I just remember when I first saw it, I was just thinking, no, I'm not going to tell you what I was thinking. I'm like, why aren't you going to tell me what you were thinking? Because it's not good. I mean, it's funny, but it's not good. And I'm like, you called me a grapefruit. I mean, I can deal with you being funny if something's not good. She's like, well, when he pulled it up at the place and I went out and looked at it, all I could think of was, you know that Chris Farley thing? I'm like, what Chris Farley? I'm like, oh God, I know what you're talking about. She says, yeah, you know the thing? The fat man in a little coat. All I could think of was fat man in a little car.
Oh no.
And I'm like, seriously? Seriously? You saw my car and all you could think was fat man in a little car. She says, yeah, that's Chris Farley, right? And I'm like, that's what you're worried about? That you got that right? That it's Chris Farley?
No, that's... Oh, man.
And I'm like, you know what, though? You're totally right, because I was actually kind of thinking a similar thing, fat man in a little car. But that's just brilliant. So this and grapefruit, I get what you're saying, honey. And she goes, no, I'm not saying that. And I'm like, yeah, I get what you're saying. She goes, you're not going to do it, are you? I'm like, oh, yeah, I will. No, you're not going to do it. This is not going on the podcast. Yes, it is. Totally going on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's worth it.
And then the best part was I actually forgot about it to an extent. This is a couple nights ago we had this conversation. And this morning as I'm getting prepared for the podcast, I'm like, oh, babe, you said something. You said something really funny the other night. And I guess I don't remember what it was. And she's like, oh, I did. You were going to put it on there. I can't remember it either. I legitimately believed her. I believed her that she couldn't remember it because we had talked about it and she knew it would be funny on the podcast. And then I'm sending you pictures of my newest find, which we'll hopefully talk about next week, because I should have them by next week. Because by the way, I did order those. I bought
you
them.
You did.
I bought them.
Of course you did.
I had to.
All right.
I hope
foreshadowing for next podcast. Oh, that's the time we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it on Thursday's podcast.
I hope I have them by Thursday. That would be amazing. But anyway, I sent those pictures to you and I'm looking at my other pictures in my thing and I see a picture of the car and I'm like, fat man in a little car. She was, oh my God, yes, that's what it was. I said, okay, I had to remember. That has to come out in the podcast. She goes, I'm sorry, that's really what I thought of. I'm like, no, it's perfect. I mean, compare me to Chris Farley, I'm good. So yes, I am the fat man in the little car.
I love it.
And I have a name for the car.
Oh, what's the name of the car?
I have created a
name. Are you willing to share said name on the podcast? I mean, you did announce that you have one.
I am going to share the name because I will eventually be getting a license plate cover that has the name on it, just like we got the marshmallow cover for the wife's car.
Yes.
Which I can't send pictures because I don't want to have to cover up the license plate number so you don't see it.
Right.
But it exists. But anyway, because it's Well, let's see if you can make a guess. It's you've seen at least one picture of the car. It's white. It's got a black interior. There's some black trimming around it.
Yeah.
And it's me driving the car. So what would you think would be an appropriate name for a car that's white with some black interior and designs? What would be appropriate?
I would say something akin to tuxedo or something.
For me?
I mean, you got the white and black kind of, it's a little reverse tuxedo to me because the majority of the car is white.
Exactly.
Right? Like the exterior of the car is white. The inside is black. Else.
Yeah, I think it's something else. The majority of it is white. The exterior is white. The inside has black. Nothing else coming to mind?
Not immediately, no. You know what is? My mind is blank because I'm being quizzed. That's the problem.
Ah, you're having the quiz blank then.
I'm having okay. quiz blank. Yeah, I got quiz blank going on.
Okay. So what we thought about naming it even beforehand, but driven it more, I completely agree with the name. It is the name of the vehicle. It is being called Trooper.
Oh my God.
Why did you not think of Stormtrooper? I know. Why of all things did you?
You know what sucks? That's exactly. Do you know what sucks? Is the what? First thing I thought when I saw the outside of that car was that bitch has to look like a Stormtrooper on the front.
Yeah, it does.
It's got to. Because you didn't show me the front. You didn't show me the side.
I'm only showing you the side.
Like, that thing looks like a Stormtrooper. If he doesn't call it something like that, I'm going to lose it. I don't know why I blanked. See, again, quiz blank. Is all that happened. Yeah. I didn't go back to like. But I barely remember dinner 2 days ago. I'm not going to remember what I thought a week or so ago when you showed me.
I'll get you a picture of the front of it.
Please. I would love to see the front. I would love to see the front of the car.
But yes, the name of the car is Trooper. I actually, I've gone through a couple of seat covers that I've had to return that I didn't for the car. Because I do want to have some seat covers in it, but I found some nice Star Wars ones that hopefully won't move around because Mini's got little weird seats and they were moving too much. The seat covers were,
yeah.
But, I found some that say Star Wars on it, and, I'm going to refrain from any stickers or any other things. Although I did find out the other day that Mini's again, the customizable geniuses that they are, there's so many different things that you can get to customize your Mini in different ways with different designs and colors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. A lot of Union Jack stuff, and I'm not putting a Union Jack on any of my stuff.
Nah.
I'm not British and I don't want to be. but they do have what are called badges, which are little metal badges that you can attach to the front grill of the car.
Oh my God, you have car gibbets.
I have car, I can get car gibbets, yes. Is this not the perfect vehicle for me?
Oh my God.
It is so my car.
Okay, yeah, that's so your car, dude. That's your car.
It's so me. Anyway, we've gone on.
Jeez.
Car gibbets. I'll send you pictures of those. Anyway. Okay. That's the updates that we have. We didn't get to talk about the talking dog, but you know what? I think the talking dog will be a funny thing to talk about on Thursday after Mike has imbibed a few. I think that will be amusing.
Yes.
So, you'll definitely want to check out next week's because it will be the at least somewhat drunken podcast episode for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Which I think is just brilliant and amazing.
A little more relaxed.
Mike.
Chilling.
Where are people going to be able to find the Drunken St. Patrick's Day podcast and this one as well?
Well, you could be listening to us on our website, thezenuchronicles.com or zencron.com if you don't want to type that much. And if you have any podcast listening apps, go take a look for us. Find us. Search for the Zenu Chronicles there. You're going to see us on most of the major ones, you know, Google and oh my gosh, I'm blanking, Apple and all of those as well.
That evil Spotify one.
The evil Spotify one, we're still there. We don't really have the pull, you know. We can't just say we don't want to be at that one. We can't really do that.
We're not at that point that we can make that kind of
not yet.
It's like, I mean, if those people want to listen to us too, okay, please.
Not yet, but I will say this. We would like to get that kind of clout. So if that's the case, please, if you do not know about this. Please do, because it helps us get like internet famous and stuff. We do also have a YouTube channel. And if you are not listening to us on YouTube, go to YouTube right now and go search for the Zenio Chronicles there. And if you're listening to this podcast on YouTube, please go ahead and hit the like button on the on the video itself, because this does come out in video format. Also, make sure that you hit the subscribe button as well, that is next to that like button, or just subscribe to the channel right there on the search for YouTube. That'd be great too. And also, there is one more thing to do in relation to that, James. What is that?
Click the bell.
That's right. Make sure you click the bell right next to it so that you get notified the next podcast or even video. When we get a wild hair up our ass, we'll put a video out too.
At some point that's going to happen. Sadly, I spent my microphone and camera money, not microphone, sorry, my cable and camera money on a new Ninja product, which we'll also talk about.
Oh, dang. Week. Oh yeah. See, that's
foreshadowing for the next week. It is not the, it's not the Ninja you think of.
Oh man, I've got to. Oh man, we had a whole thing about this. You talk about, you want that.
Anyway, we will talk about that next week. While you're there checking our stuff out on Facebook, or not Facebook, YouTube, Facebook too, but YouTube, you're checking out our stuff, you're subscribing, you're clicking the bell, you're liking, you're doing all that stuff. Please make sure to check out Mike's two other YouTube pages, Chronosode Games. This is a gaming show that he does with his wife. Show is a good way to put it, I guess, where they're playing video games in chronological order of the story of the video game, not in order of release. Basically, it's Mike playing video games badly and also doing voiceover acting badly. When you're done,
dry reads are hard
and enjoying. I guess not for actors. But anyway, you know, playing a riff multiple times in time to a click track is hard for non-musicians like me.
Fair.
So, I mean, you know, whatever. Speaking of that, if you want to learn more about how to be a good musician, check out Mike's other YouTube page, Ruling Note Music. Did you like that transition?
I like that. That was good. Thank you.
This is page where he talks about all things music, stories about different bands, albums, gear, information, recording information. I mean, with all your stuff that you have, you should be putting out a few more of those videos. Anyway, thank you for listening to us today, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.